I must be getting it, what everybody's getting, this sinus kind of thing, infection, starting today. Sapping me today, man.
It's pretty sucky, you know. It really is. The
Man, I
worst
really loved
part.
your.
Oh,
Oh,
go
go
ahead,
ahead,
man.
man.
I was in the
Well,
worst.
just say I go.
Go ahead, man.
I really love your clips of, the photos you'd had with guys in Venom Inc. and that you posted Witching Hour. Like, hell's breaking loose. I was like, yeah, that's great.
it was that was good. It was a good show. Yeah, I totally, I did not expect at all to be invited onto the bus. I mean, when Tony was on, we talked
Absolutely
about like his foods and he said everything was really good, and I told him that I'd bring him some fritters, from Doko, because they are the best apple fritters around. And I said, yeah, I'll bring you something from England. And so I got there. I had brought my fritters, six like regular size ones, and they're full. Their giant ones are about the size of like dinner plates. I mean, they're
Holy
huge.
cow.
Yeah. So I got six regular fritters and two giant ones. And so I got in there hanging out, and then Kern walks in and he goes, "Hey, Mr. Justice," comes over, gives me a big, handshake and hug. And so I told him about the fritters, and he's like, "Yeah, hold on, I'll go to the bus. Hold on." And he comes back and he's like, "Yeah, why don't you come on the bus?" I'm like, "Oh, okay. Not okay. Yeah, let's do that."
That's so cool.
And yeah, it was just crazy, And Tony comes up and he like gives me a big hug. He's like, "Oh, Mark," gives me a big hug and showed him the fritters. He's like, "Oh, and then the Mark, their drummer, takes one, puts one in his mouth. He's like, "Oh, these are so fucking good," And Tony's eating one. He's like, "Oh, Jesus, they're so good." We're just talking, and then he gives me some Marmite, which is like Vegemite, but he's like, "Yeah, it's the same stuff that he gave to Chuck Billy." And Chuck Billy was like, "What the fuck is this?" He's like,
Oh,
"You're either gonna love it or you're hate it." I'm like, "Okay." So I told him I was going to do it this weekend, but being sick, it's like I'm gonna send him a text saying, "Hey, man, I got a sinus infection. I want to wait until I really can taste it, good or bad," because I was going to do a
yeah.
video of tasting it and tag him in it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was just,
I'll just taste the Marmite. It'd be the new, be
yeah,
like
I
how
want
to
to taste
savor
it.
a cigar, You
Yeah,
could
I
do
want to taste
it.
it, but it was just so unexpected, and so very cool that he invited me on the bus. And it was just very, very cool.
That's awesome, man.
And after the show, he comes up to Tony comes up to me. He's like, "How did we sound?" I'm like, "God, you guys sound fucking great." Kern, I mean, the band sounds phenomenal. I mean, they
On
just are
fire, yeah.
so good.
Making him a permanent member was such a great choice,
Oh
obviously.
yeah. Oh yeah, hands down, so good. Yeah, so if they come back around, you gotta come out and see them, man. It's just a good
Yeah,
show.
man. It was just the intense cold, and luckily I actually didn't, because the snow really picked up at night, and it was bad here. And
Oh, it was
so
shitty
we're
driving
driving.
home.
I can imagine.
Yeah,
But
just
yeah, that was the only, I didn't want to risk with all that. And
no, makes sense.
otherwise I would have been like, you know what? Hell yeah, buddy. I'm on. I've been on that
Yeah.
bus with you, enjoying time.
No, I
But yeah,
get
we
it.
got the seats coming up though. So
Yeah, deceased in March, that'll be good.
yeah, that's, I can't wait.
Yeah, they're opening for Corner, and I know the name, but I've never listened to Corner, so
I never
I have.
listened to them either, so I can't. Yeah, I think they're kind of a progressive kind of thrash, maybe
Yeah, I have no
back
idea.
in the day.
I gotta listen to their music. So,
Yeah.
actually, I've been doing a little research. My friend Ken went on out. I went out to we had Dankentine or Thanksgiving, where we took a Michigan trip and hit a couple of the dispensaries, and
Nice.
yeah, so we went up to River Rouge and then up to Saginaw, and so now I found that now we're gonna do a trip to Monroe, and I think a trip to Ann Arbor. Because there are actually Ann Arbor, the Ypsilanti Ann Arbor area has the most dispensaries of any city in Michigan.
Heard that.
So I've been doing a little research, and I've been finding a couple new places that I'm definitely looking forward to trying out on
Excellent.
this next trip. Yes, Leaf and Bud in Ann Arbor has tons of carts for as cheap as $3. So
Holy
I'm like,
cow.
I know. I'm like, ones that are like $6 and $7 elsewhere, and Jars Cannabis in Monroe, and Pure Cannabis Outlet. So Herb URB. So there's like six in Monroe, and then I'm looking up Ann Arbor right now, doing some research, and like, I don't need any new product. I mean, I have enough.
You got your own dispensary there at
I kind of
the
do, you know. I'm trying to smoke more. I'm trying to smoke every day. But being sick the last couple of days, I haven't been high, for days because I just feel like shit. Like, I don't want to be high. I'm gonna feel like shit, Yeah, but I miss it. So like, I'm trying my best, Chop. I'm smoking. I'm getting high every day that I can. Like every day, I'm pretty much high every day. So
Good for you.
that's it is good for
Yeah.
me, Yeah. So I'm ready to finish up this Rush deep dive. Not so
Yes,
deep.
sir. That's right. I'm ready, buddy.
All right, man. Let's do it.
All right.
Hi, this is Mark Brady from Jag Panzer. You are watching and listening to Heavy Metal Horror, and I just repeated the exact bumper I was told to you. So give me an F for originality on this one. But definitely watch this. Very entertaining.
I am Montag, master of illusion. What goes up must come down, but not always.
Hey, this is Chop Top, and this is the final rush hour. It's heavy.
I love that shit you make up, man. That just makes me laugh.
You're welcome.
You are watching and listening to Heavy Metal. That's right, kiddies. Today we're going to do Not So Deep Dive. It's our deep dive four, finally finishing up the Rush deep dive. We had started this early on when Dreadbull was back here doing stuff with us. We're going to be doing a modified deep dive. We're getting it off our plate. So we're still going to cover the rest of the Rush catalog. We're not going to go track by track. We've decided let's just pick the three songs that we think are really important to us, really meaningful to us, and we're going to talk about them and celebrate the band that we both love. And so let's do it. Their first album that we're going to talk about is 1989's Presto. And would you like me to go first, or do you want to go, Chop?
You go ahead and go first. I want
Okay.
first in
Yeah,
line. Presto.
I the three songs that stand out to me on this one. The first track, Show Don't Tell, and then The Pass and Available Light. Show Don't Tell. I mean, one thing, the negative. I'll start with the negative. This album, I don't like the productions of this album. It's a very thin sounding album. From the drums, everything sounds really thin. I just there's an era, this era of Rush, in the early late 80s, early 90s. Everything was thin and kind of tinny, and it just. I just didn't don't like it, but Show Don't Tell has an interesting kind of beginning, and Neil Peart's lyrics are thoughtful, but they've kind of gone left the whole like fantasy and epic kind of songwriting where he's telling stories to more social commentary and stories about kind of everyday life, and
Introspection.
yeah, very much so, and that's what I get with Show Don't Tell, and The Pass is really one of those powerful songs that deal with someone struggling with issues with depression and the line, about someone comparing themselves with others and then leading up to a suicide. It's a very powerful song. And in that line where kind of the staccato ends, where Christ, what have you done? It really kind of brings that point of like, oh, okay. And Lear, Peart really tells us, oh, this guy's hurt himself without saying this guy's hurt himself,
Right.
and it's beautifully written.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and Available Light, I think, again, is one of those songs. It's kind of a bittersweet, like Time Stands Still and these other songs that were Peart's talking about stopping the moment and looking at things. Let me see how things are in whatever available light is left, and it's a very poignant kind of bittersweet song. That's what I like so much about it is there's a
Yes.
bittersweet
Very much.
quality to these to that song. And this is incidentally the first time I saw Rush was on the Presto tour. They were at
Okay.
Blossom. Yeah, they were Blossom, and they had a big inflatable rabbit, for Tom
Yeah.
Sawyer, and I think Mr. Big opened for them. I think that was back when they still had
I
opening.
remember that. Yeah, that billing. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go? Did we go together?
No, I didn't go to that one.
Okay.
The next album we talk about was my first experience. So
Oh, Roll of
yeah,
Bones. Okay. Well, those are my three from Presto. And go ahead.
Well, okay. I agree with I have two of the three that you've mentioned, Show Don't Tell. I like the funky bass guitar and guitar kind of work as it begins. Love the pre-chorus and chorus. The song to me means enough talk. Show me. Keys are still present in it, but not overpowering like the 84, 85 albums, I thought. And very small guitar solo by Alex, but it fits the song. The Pass, another one I agree with, just gives me chills, that song. Beautiful song. And so there's so much emotional heft to it. And great chorus. Meaning to me is sort of same lines I got out of the lyrics is, you may be struggling, but don't give up. It empowers hope. And yeah, just what can you say about that? It's a masterpiece. The third one I chose, which is kind of interesting to me, even to me, I kind of look back and I'm like, you chose this? Chain Lightning. I like the it's kind of it's catchy, groovy bass line, interesting riff during the pre-chorus. It's kind of discordant by Alex. Interesting solo by him as well. It's dissonant, but recognizable as Alex and as his work. Means to me a change in life, but life goes on in other means. It's like the chain lightning of events. You know, there's this change here, but it goes into this next event, goes into the next event. So that's what I got out of that song in the meaning.
Pierre is still a poet, even though he's writing about things that are, about the he's seeing the beauty in the mundane and the everyday, and he's seeing the kind of the magic that is living, I mean, he's really so thoughtful. It's so prevalent when he's talking about things. They're very intentional in his word choice, and I could listen to him talk about things, and I haven't read his books. I need to. I want to. Part of me is hesitant because it still makes me cry that he's gone.
Right. Absolutely.
I just find myself really missing him, and wanting him to be here. And I go back and I'll watch him talk about, even like listening to his choice of drums and talking about his setup and his cymbals, where some people are like, oh, that's boring. Like, for me, it's magic because then I'm really hearing the passion, and the beauty of his soul. So, yeah, no,
You
I
think
dig that.
this is a naive question, but I didn't know he was an author. He wrote nonfiction or fiction? Did he?
Right. Well, both.
Okay.
He did a lot of memoirs. He did a book called Ghostwriter.
Okay, I
But
didn't
he
know about that one.
Yeah,
That's
he
right.
did, and he's done like Anatomy of a Solo. Well, that was a video, but he's written a couple books, Stories of the Road. There was like three or four books that he wrote that were memoirs, like Traveling on the Road and things like that. And
Did a lot of that, yeah, especially the death of his wife. Yeah.
I think just a way of when it kind of when you see those themes in his lyrics, like Larger Bowl and things like that, where you see his view of the world in a way that most of us don't get. And when he's looking at things as a citizen of the world and trying to be respectful of cultures and understand how minuscule our lives tend to be, and the differences
In the
that
greater
divide us
picture,
and the bigger picture aren't important, and he's looking for the humanity. And I think that's what I find, beautiful about his soul is he has a perspective that most of us don't get. And he was fortunate enough to have that. And just to that thoughtfulness and intent and his reflection on things. So no, I'm going to do that for myself this year. I'm going to go down and get one of his books and read it, just because I know it's going to be a
I got to
wonderful
look into
read.
that myself, buddy. Yeah, that'd be really interesting. I'd love to hear some of his memoirs about his life on the road.
Because I know Clockwork Angels was t turned into a comic book as well, like a graphic novel.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that's jumping ahead. But
Sure.
yeah, so that was 1989 Presto. So next is 1991 Roll the Bones. And this was the next time I saw them. I saw them in actually the University of Toledo, with Eric Johnson opened up for them. So that was a good double bill. My
Same
three.
show. I was there at that show,
Oh, really?
Savage Arena. Yeah, yep.
Oh,
I was
that's
with
cool.
an old friend of mine from high school and stuff, and he was going to University of Toledo at the time, and he goes, "I got rush tickets. You'd like to go?" Yeah, it's the first experience, and what a show! That was a great concert. So, and that was my first experience. So I was there at that same when you were at Monterey. So really
Nice.
cool. Yeah,
Nice.
so we knew each other. No,
That's right.
we knew. Well, we knew
We
each
knew each
other
other.
real
Yeah,
well.
we know each
Yeah,
other. We did,
we known each other. Yeah, that was 91, our first year. Yeah,
We met in was it 890? Spring of 91. So when we met,
91.
not March of
Yeah, on
91.
spring break.
That's
Yeah,
right.
what a memorable spring break.
We'll have to do a whole show about that.
We're going to keep the dirty stories to a minimum.
That's right. Yeah, we'll get Deanie on here. Yeah, with the spitting lizard blues,
Eating spaghetti that was left out on that
that'll
with
come
beer.
for another episode, kids. We'll all about the Road Hard
Yeah.
story. Road Hard put away
You
wet.
know.
That's right.
But
But
we
now
know.
nobody knows.
Exactly.
1991's Roll the
Good
Bones,
one.
another album that has a kind of a, it's a little better production value, but not
Still thin.
great. Yeah, still thin. My three songs, I got Dreamline, which I really like that song. It's got that really interesting kind of in the chorus with the horn section, that brass, even though it's keyboard, it has that horn sound.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of a driving song. They opened like the like three tours with that song. And then Bravado and Ghost of a Chance. You don't often see Ghost of a Chance like love songs come from Rush. And
Right.
it's And this album is really simple to play. I was like learning how to noodle around on a guitar and just kind of playing around. I'm like, oh, this is pretty easy stuff. Not that Alex is a bad guitarist. It's just like the melodies were easy. That's one thing I like about Ghosts of a Chance. I don't believe in the planets and suns and angels watching from above, but I believe in there's a ghost of a chance that you can find someone to love. Again, it's a beautiful poem, beautiful love
Yeah,
song.
poetry.
And I love that. And Bravado again, just this sense of again talking about the human experience, focusing on the story of one person and how that kind of translates to our own experiences and bravery in the case of situations. And again, is the whole album, the writing style is different in that. These are the things that he was focusing on this year. Still beautifully written. I miss the older area or era of Rush, but this album, it's an era that I find it's kind of dips for me. It's in a lower the lower albums for me as far as ranking, but it's still a decent listen to once in a while. But anyway, those are my three tracks.
Great choices. Again, I have two of the three that you mentioned.
Nice.
Dreamline. I love that intro, the chorus. It's really bright, catchy. Nice use of keys in it, meaning possibly you can do anything, travel in our dreams, and we are mortal within our dreams. There's sparse guitar too, and really no guitar solo to speak of, which is a kind of rarity in a Rush kind of thing. But maybe this era, though, you saw a little bit more, like you said, it's on the lower end of the spectrum,
Yeah, it was
but
a little
there's still
trumpet
decent
blasts.
material.
So, yeah, they were more like trumpet blasts on the guitar, like little notes. They weren't like the melodic solos that we're typically used to. Yeah.
So, but still, tremendous song. I love they opened up on that tour, for that song, and it's just, man, I love it. Bravado again, beautiful intro. Again, such an emotionally deep song. Very nice Alex solo in there. I think it fits the song very well. Great melody with it. Meaning to me is doing what we may, but not counting the cost until it's too late.
Right.
That's what I got on there.
Yeah, go ahead and do it because it's the right thing to do. And don't worry about it, the cost. We will pay the price, but we won't count the cost. And
Never count the
that's
cost.
yeah, that kind of sums up what love is, really. You know?
True. Yeah.
To be not to be too trite about it, but that's essentially what it is, a beautiful way of talking about it.
Sure. Roll the Bones. And I love it. Great intro. Reminds me of 84, 85 Rush. The meaning I got out, don't question everything. Just take a chance. Stop overthinking everything. I love the message in the chorus. There's a nice short solo by Alex. Of course, the rap section was, everybody hated kind of, but it didn't take away from the song for me.
It was a little
Ironically, I
quirky.
thought
It was
it was
weird and
quirky. It was
quirky.
nothing Rush had ever done before, but it
Right.
didn't take away from the overall, the song itself. So.
Right. The whole thing is still very humanist in its forward, like the idea of like, why are we here? Because we're here. Like Why do things happen? Because they happen. Because he's, you know, being
Just go for it.
at
Doesn't
the very
matter.
least an agnostic, if not an atheist. Just like, look, there's no grand design here. We're everything is a chance, and all you can do is just do your best and try. And again, it comes right down to the heart of the matter of just existing, living, and being in the moment and being present, you know. So,
That's great. Okay, buddy, where are we on to next?
1993, Counterparts. I love this album. It is one of my favorite Rush albums, and this is one of
Me
those
too.
ones where, like, even though it's very different in sounding from Hold Your Fire, this is one of the albums that I want to listen to from beginning to end every time I listen to it. Like Moving Pictures, it is one of those albums where I don't want to listen to one track. I want to listen to the entire album because every song in here is a good song.
This is like, and this album is like also Rush rediscovering the guitar centered kind of Rush sound,
Well,
you
that
know,
they didn't
coming back.
want to. It was their producer. When they were doing the
Okay.
album, he told Alex, "Don't bring any like special effects on your. I don't want any reverb. I don't want any like special stuff. I just want you to run and give me a dry distortion." And he's like, "No." And he's like, "Yes." And so it was a battle.
Producer was right, I'll tell you.
But right, and Animate. That's why I love Animate. It
Yeah.
has that really beautiful heavy sound, and again, it's and here's Peter talking about things like at the mythological level, you know, mentioning all these kind of religious symbols and these spiritual kind of symbols, and the anima or the animated, again, the human part in all of us. And I love the sound of the drums. Everything is big and bold, and the, you know, nice some triplet roles in here. Animate is I think
Fantastic.
maybe my favorite track on the whole album. If I had to listen to like one song repeatedly on that one, it's Animate, because it's just such a great song.
Yes, it is.
The one that really, like, the first single though is my second track, is Stick It Out. And the first time I listened to it, I'm like, the guitar comes in so big and ugly sounding and heavy. I'm like, this is Rush? Like, oh, what, you know? And then it takes a while because it comes in on a weird time, because once the beat comes in and that big heavy drums, I'm like, oh, now it makes sense. But it's still on that off the off beat.
Yeah,
And
it's eccentric
yeah,
for sure.
it's everything's on the off beat. But yeah, Stick It Out, again, phenomenal song. I love the big ugliness of it compared to Animate, which is a beautiful, I think, beautifully constructed song. Stick It Out is kind of like, yeah, fuck you. It's loud, it's brash. It's like Rush becoming a rock band again. And that's like, yeah, I love that. And another track, my third track on this one, again, it's a track that you would not expect it to be from Rush, Double Agent. And yeah, it's like a story. It's brooding. It's like this assassin mystery spy kind of thing, you know? And I just love the kind of that weird, beautiful, syncopated with the drums. There's just this kind of feel of it that, again, it doesn't sound, it's not so melodic, it's not progressive in a traditional sense, but it's like, oh, it blends in with the rest of the album, these 10 tracks that are just gorgeously arranged. Yes, Double Agent is just so bizarre, in the context of a Rush catalog, but it works perfectly on this album.
Yeah, with the rest of that. Agree with you. My first choice is Animate out there as well. Drum intro by Neil is just terrific. It's one of his best drum intros ever. Starting with the chorus, then switching to the verse, strong intro chorus, then start switching to verse. And I like the interplay between all the members of the band. I think that's outstanding within the song itself. The construction sounds like they're having fun again. That's what I noted when, I put in my notes. I was like, just sounds like the three of them are having fun again with this. As soon as you hear that first song, you're just like, yeah, this sounds like the gang's all here. They're having fun again. I said great melody. The meaning to me I got out of this was bear me, animate me. I'm going to get what I want regardless. That's what I got out of lyricism. Maybe a little different interpretation of what you have, but that's what I got out of it. So Stick It Out, not everyone I agree with. Boy, we're going on a pattern here. getting back to more guitar heavy Rush as opposed to early late 80s material, meaning for me, get rid of negativity, push it out of your mind, out of your body. And I thought it's a very tasty Alex solo in this one as well. So there's my note for that. Third choice I made is Cold Fire.
Oh, yeah.
I love Cold Fire. Classic Alex opening riff. Beautiful pre-chorus. The meaning to me is, you can, I can't, you can have somebody, I love you, but only for so much. You can't do it. I call this a borderline personality song. That's why I got in a relationship, kind of looking at
Yeah.
that viewpoint.
I'll be
You
around if you don't push me too far. Right. You don't make too many demands upon me. Very
You can,
conditional.
it's like this. All these conditions, but it's unconditional. So there is no unconditional love because it's a borderline personality person you're actually working with here. And I worked with them and they're emotional vampires. So yeah, I will tell you, that's what I got out of it. It really had a personal meaning to me that, and I read through the lyrics again. I'm just like, well, that's what he's talking about here, essentially. This is, I can love, I can't love you unconditionally because I have to have these conditions attached. And if you push me too far, fuck you, I'm gone. So, yeah. But
Yeah.
yeah, brilliant album. Love every song on it. Couldn't agree with you more. Double Agent again. I was like, fuck. You could have chose any song. You threw it on the board here, this one.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal album. I think one of their strongest of all, of every album they've done. It's a beautiful album. Okay, the next album, 1996, Test for Echo. Chop and I saw this tour together.
Yes, we
Phenomenal
did.
tour, great show.
Yeah.
I remember buying a bootleg tape back in, I don't know where I was at, somewhere in Cleveland. They had like bootleg videos, and it was this tour on video, and it was this one and also the Queensryche Empire tour that came out
Oh
not
yeah,
too
that was
long. And I
brilliant.
like got these nice VHS copies of these bootlegs. I'm like, oh, that's cool. My first boots I'd ever bought, videos. My three tracks are Test for Echo and Driven and Resist. And Test for Echo is the title track, and I think it again it's commentary on what's going on in society, talking about the kids and criminals and don't do the crime if you can't do the time kind of thing, and but also the idea of playing these roles within this kind of society, and just seeing what's happening as a reflection of what's changes that are going on societally. Driven, I just think I really like this shuffle, this kind of really interesting kind of beat that this has, kind of this off-rhythm syncopated kind of driving beat, and playing on that word driven, throughout the piece. There's a lot of wordplay in this album, and I just kind of like that, and I like it kind of has that starting and stopping kind of beat, but then when it gets into the chorus, it kind of really puts in that driving beat, and again, driven to the margin of terror, driven, all these plays of ways of using driven and sometimes on the cliches, but it all builds to this picture that appears, and I really like it. And then Resist, again, and I find myself it's funny because I find myself using lyrics a lot, referring to these albums a lot, like the term available light. I use that concept, like, I have enough light, I can see, like this one, Resist, I can resist anything but temptation. I just love that line, and
Oh, God.
I can learn to close my eyes to anything but it's like injustice, these kinds of things. Like it's showing about his compassion and humanity for to others, and being able to not turn a blind eye to the hurts of your neighbor. And again, we're looking at things in a perspective that a lot of us don't get. And so he's looking at things in this bigger picture. And so he's saying, look, trying to look at humans and people and the human experience. And that's what I find so beautiful in this kind of peaceful real protest song, and that's what I, anyway, those are my takes on those three songs.
Absolutely. Well, again, 2 out of 3 for me.
Nice.
Test for Echo, of course. I love the intro. Then the time change briefly with whole band's on fire on this. Then they're back into the time change. I love the guitar lines by Alex throughout. It's kind of manic in parts also, which I really enjoy. I can't hear you.
You there?
Yeah. You hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, buddy.
Okay, let's start from
start
there.
That over for you?
Yeah, please. I'm
Okay.
gonna do this. Okay.
Okay, Test for Echo. I love the intro. Then the time change briefly with the whole band on fire, then back into the time change. I love the guitar lines by Alex. There's kind of manic in parts, this album. I really enjoy that. Meaning for me is we're looking for some kind of is it I can't even read my own writing this one. Oh, is kind of anyone out there, you know, anyone available anymore? Is a test for echo, anything human again, you know, are we getting an echo back, you know, as opposed with all the social stuff that you commented on going on earlier? It's like, is the human factor still existing? We're getting that echo back. Are you out there, anyone? So that's kind of what I got out of it.
I like that.
Driven, great main riff by Alex and Van. Love the acoustic pre-choruses for Kickstarter. And then meaning, making decisions right or wrong, still making a decision. Maybe a question of perseverance. Driven, driven to the edge, you know, persevering, overcoming.
Yeah.
I'm driven to this, driven to the edge of terror, driven to all that wordplay that you mentioned in your synopsis of it. So, yeah. And the third one, I thought, Carve Away the Stone. I really, it's a bright song, good construction, nice time changes, keys are low, but give it, you know, give it still a nice, you know, nice feel with a nice melodic solo by Alex, meaning don't give up. Hope, keep chipping away at whatever is holding you back. So, I got all that.
No, I like it. I really like that. Like your takes on that. There's a 6 year gap between albums here, and that's because Dave Peart had suffered a lot of tragedy. You know, as his wife and daughter and dog all died in this time, and I mean, any one of those would be devastating, but to lose, you know, all three within a year, you know, such a short time.
So
he took off on his motorcycle and just drove from Canada down to South America and back, just took off for years. And I know for Alex and Getty, they, you know, they just would get cards from him once in a while, and they were worried about him, of course, because, you know, in his state, like, were they worried, like, something could have happened, like, as he, Peart says, like, anything could have happened by accident, let alone design, like, taking his own life, you know, being from depression. But that riding on the road was became healing for him and allowed him to kind of process these feelings. And it took a long time for them to even approach the idea of, like, I know Alex talked about how maybe kind of, perhaps thinking about, you know, maybe recording some music. You know, they knew how tender everything was, and they certainly love one another so much they didn't want to push them, you know, and they just mad love and respect for one another. But this album comes out and it's a really strong album.
Yes, it is.
You know, I love my three songs: One Little Victory, Ghost Rider, and Stars Look Down. One Little Victory has this, you know, great kind of really interesting drum beat, and that's because Neil Peart had been, you know, learned how to play drums again, very different style, changed his trip back to a traditional grip, redone it the way his drums were laid out, and more jazzy kind of. It's a very jazzy kind of intro. You get that kind of shuffle beat, you know, and that's what I like about it. It's a rocking song. It's, you know, it's a great, almost sounds like something very something you would have heard off of their cover album when they talked. They did a cover of a song from the 60s. It sounds I don't remember which one it was, but it sounds
the
very
feedback?
Feedback. It sounds something like that from that era. Ghost Rider is a song about him traveling on the road, the healing nature of travel, and Ghost Rider, this idea of being out on the road and the idea of processing the grief and emotions. And you see that also carried over into Stars Look Down. For me, that's the most beautiful, poignant song in the whole album. It's like a, I can, you know, and the way the quietness of it, you know, when, and then the way Geddy sings it, you know, what is the meaning of this? It's just this, and the stars look down. It's like, you know, we're reaching out, trying to find meaning in this world. And again, there is none. It's like you're waiting for someone to give you a reason, to give you an answer. And there's just nothing. It's just the stars are there, everything's there. And to me, it's a sense of loss and grief, seeking answers, but realizing there are none, you know, and there's no God going to give you an answer. All you have is just the experience of the emotion in the moment. And so for me, that's, it's a beautiful and heartbreaking song. And I think it's conveyed through the melody and especially the way Geddy sings it. So yeah, those three songs just really show the emotional state that Neil was writing through when he wrote this album. And so that's why, while I like other albums better, I think the emotional, the rawness and the truth of his emotions really come through on this album.
Agree. Great choices. Again, 2 out of 3.
Nice.
One little victory. Ghost Rider and Sweet Miracle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So Neil's incredible drum intro. And like you said, the drumming's different with One Little Victory. It's more jazz. It's more, you know. It's almost metal for them at some point, you know, in the song. Let me see. I love the entire band's on fire, I think. And meaning for this, I take is taking pride in getting something accomplished, something small, may mean something bigger to someone else. So one little victory, taking pride in that one little, but it may mean something bigger to someone else on the outside. So Ghost Rider, introspective. The meaning I got out of this is put away your demons and soul search. Love the bass guitar harmony parts during the verses and the bright parts during the pre-choruses. And I just love the mood and the melody and the bass lines of this song. And it really carries you. It makes you feel like you're actually a ghost rider, like you're actually on that motorcycle with him at times.
And Geddy, sorry to interrupt. You know, Lee, there's a lot of doubling. And a lot of doubling on these songs that I noticed that you don't often hear on other songs or other albums, you know, and you hear those two and three, you know, he was doing multiple layers of audio or, you know, vocal tracks, which I think really adds to some of the character of these tracks, you know.
Agree.
But anyway, just something I did
No,
note.
that's great, man. Great point. I never thought of it, but and then Sweet Miracle. I love Getty's voice and the melody of this song. I think it's one of Getty's best later vocal performances. Love, love, love this song. The meaning to me is just praising the sweet miracle of life, and there is bigger things than ourselves in this life. That's what I got out of that. So.
I mean, it's so easy to look at in hindsight and seeing, I mean, recognizing what Peart had gone through. You see all of these things in all the lyrics on this album. The Sweet Miracle, again, one little victory. For him, one little victory could have been coming back without killing himself. You know, that could be the little victory. You know, the sweet miracle of life is like the realizing the fact that we are still here. Why are we here? Because we're here. You know, like that little thing and just realizing those moments, the preciousness of it all, you know.
And what's interesting to me is like from Presto on through the rest of her work, it's very looking at the human factor and everything. It's more introspective. Their introspective era of work, I think, and than any other era of Rush, you know, they've done. So I love the album. I love that song. But yeah, it's great.
Nice,
So next.
nice. All right. Next album, 2007 is Snakes and Arrows. Another really strong album. You know, but you know, Vapor Trails is just one more thing about Vapor Trails. It's an album that I didn't really listen to a lot when it came out. And it took me a few listens to get into it. I wasn't really in the mood for it at the time. But it has become, it's a rich album. It's one that I go to, like, I really appreciate it on a different level than when I listen to, say, Permanent Waves or Hemispheres. It's
Oh, sure.
you know, it's something that's very sonically dense and rich, but It's a that's an album I like to listen to when I'm in the car. You know, I love to
Okay,
listen
yeah,
to it
I agree.
driving, and it is such a strong album. And Snakes and Arrows for me, it's the same way. Snakes and Arrows is not as rich sonically, but I think it's a really strong album. And my three tracks are Far Cry, Working Them Angels, and Faithless. Far Cry has that when I first heard it, like da 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 da. I'm
Yeah.
like, ooh, what is this? That sounds like something I'm going to hear back from like Hemispheres days,
Right.
you know? Then the verse comes in, you know, with that kind of that guitar heavy melody. Yeah, it's a far cry. It's a far cry from the world, you know, we've dreamed of kind of thing. Is this idea that we have a lot of work to do, you know? And Working Them Angels, I love the mix of this song. I can hear that ride cymbal really beautifully coming in, that kind of pinging ride cymbal. Because my one criticism of the way Neil loved the way his drums were mixed, he always viewed the ride cymbal as more the sinew of keeping things together, and I always liked it more of a prominent mix in the mix myself, when he
Okay,
likes it
I get
more
it.
laid back. But on that
Yeah.
album, on that very first, when the chorus comes in, you can really hear that ride cymbal come in, where I'm more like when I hear like when you hear like Aces High, that ping ride, you know,
Okay.
from Nico McBrain,
We
that
don't,
ding ding ding
yeah.
ding ding. I like that punching through. This is a more soft, laid back. But the idea of working them angels, working them overtime, this idea of the grace that we have in our lives, or if we have guardian angels, just we're doing things that are kind of testing them. Because Snakes and Arrows is really about it's Snakes and Arrows is like Chutes and Ladders. That's the original kind of the idea of testing faith and or the lack of, which is I think my favorite track on the album, Faithless. And I don't believe in faith. You know, I don't believe in I don't have faith in faith. I don't believe in belief. You can call me faithless, you can call me faithless. But I have believe in hope and I believe in love, you know, kind of thing. It's a love song at its heart, but it's coming from an atheist point of view. And here's someone who's rejecting the standard notions of spirits and angels and all those things, those guiding things. It's like free will. You know, if nothing else, Neil Peart has a constant theme of the humanist point of view. You know, Ayn Rand, the human directing human thoughts. We don't care if there are any gods up there. It doesn't really matter. Human driven to do things that are, you know, make us special. And so, as someone who is faithless, that kind of resonates with me an awful lot. The Faithless song, but it's a beautiful song. These albums are really, you know, this album is a beautiful sounding album. But anyway, those are my three favorite.
Great choices. And again, 2 out of 3 kids. I get it.
Do we see a theme? No, we didn't plan this, kids. We totally didn't.
No, totally, we didn't discuss this at all.
No.
Far Cry, it's guitar heavy, band's on fire here. Meaning for me, there's ambivalence, confusion about the world we live in, and where do we have to get back to our own expectations? Classic Rush. Lead single off the album, I remember it came out. I was just like, "Holy shit! Yeah, this is gonna be great." And then Working Them Angels, great production, driving chorus, meaning for me is put so much on ourself and our own behaviors. Are we lucky because are we working a spiritual guide very hard? Is about self-doubt, questions our past and what could. Question our past and what could be in the future. And I love the chorus of that. Larger Bowl was my third choice.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Love the melody through this whole song. And the meaning to me is how I can't even read this damn thing. Well, the meaning to me is, you know, it's again looking at how Neil. When he did his, you know, 6-year motorcycle thing, you know, and the larger bowl, looking at a larger picture of humanity, and not, I guess, not ju making judgments on it as well. And so that's kind of what I got out of this song. And I just, I love that. I love that the way he can express the human spirit, human factors in so many different ways in his lyrics and so many different ways in his album. So
Yeah,
His
pleasurable.
perspective, is on a global scale. And again, we see this theme again, returning back. And I actually made reference to this song in one of my classes I'm taking. We're talking about Neil Peart and how, his point of view, the larger bowl, is he has a perspective that most of us don't get because we're not afforded the same opportunity. We've never traveled around the world. We've never done these kinds of things. So we have a much more narrow point of view. And to be able to have a larger point of view and help us people understand, it changes your perspective on the whole thing. Like astronauts who see up in space, they see the entire planet. It changes their view on this fragile little blue ball we're on. So I kind of love that about him. He helps remind us, gives us the opportunity to understand what that larger point of view is without having to experience ourselves, and makes us mindful, being mindful, at best. I think he's really trying to get us to think and before we
Yeah.
act,
Very good. Very good point.
Okay, well, we're gonna do a live album here in 2011. The only reason why I'm really bringing this up is because Dredd and I went to see this tour, the 2011 Time Machine 2011 Live in Cleveland.
I know, fuckers, I couldn't
Yes,
make that
that's
with
right. Well,
you.
you missed a good show. What was so great about Time Machine is that a couple of things that stand out to me, the three things that stand out to me on this one. And you can see the performance on Blu-ray, on DVD. It's really nice to have it because they
Yeah, I
love
got the audio.
Cleveland.
I got the audio CD. Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Now, Rush loves
Great show.
Cleveland. Cleveland was the
Yeah.
first city in the States that really
Broke
gave
them.
them good, big airplay. So it really helped them break through. So they love Cleveland. They played Moving Pictures in its entirety, which I was so happy to hear because phenomenal album. And hearing songs live like The Camera Eye and Witch Hunt, which you normally just don't ever hear,
Yeah.
So that was really awesome. What I loved that they did La Via Strangiato, which I just absolutely love that
Such
piece.
a phenomenal instrument.
Yeah, and I just the way they did it, it was just so wonderful. Because they had this kind of big, like spidery looking thing that had the lights on it. This kind of spider arms coming down, and it was toward the end of the show, and like it was one of the encores.
Okay.
Yeah, their encore is like 20 minutes. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, correct, correct.
And it's just a great song. And when they do Working Man, they started off as a reggae. They do a reggae beat,
Oh yeah.
and I'm like, oh, that is so cool. And then they once they do the break into the then the chorus comes in. Then they do the traditional Working Man. But by then, they're just having so much fun. And that's the thing that you love. And you can watch it on the video. You can see how much fun they have together on stage. And that's one thing that was palpable with Rush. They love each other. They love playing music. They love interacting with the fans. They genuinely have a good time, and it shows, So anyway, I know we weren't really covering those things, but I just had to talk a little bit about it because it was just nice
Oh,
being
absolutely.
there
That
at
means so much.
that
And
moment.
you were there and you got to
Yeah.
witness this, and they made a recorded history of it as well. So
Yeah. And I tried
it's
to get
awesome.
on the video. I tried. I saw these like little dirigibles, like little tiny blimps
You didn't
going
try to slap
around.
your belly at any of them, did
No, no.
you?
No, but I tried to get on. No, I don't think I'm on anywhere near there. But
Awesome, buddy. Awesome
yeah.
recollection. Great stuff. Great live release as well, both.
Totally,
So.
totally. Okay, now the next the last studio album that they did, 2012, Clockwork Angels. I could not bring this down to three tracks. I am sorry. I could not.
It's a great album.
It, because when Getty, when they when people I saw a great interview, he's like, what's the if people had to listen to one Rush album, where would you have them start? And he said, well, you start with the best, Clockwork Angels. They loved that album. For them, it was
Yes,
their
it did.
best album. It is a beautiful swan song. And Be You to Be, I just think, again, just a phenomenal way to start this phenomenal album. I love The Anarchist because it's this kind of driving bass line and the story. Clockwork Angels is a concept album, kind of steampunk, and that's it's awesome. Halo Effect, I think, is just a beautiful song. Just gorgeous with this acoustic and just kind of this really lovely Just wonderful music. Headlong Flight reminds me of Bastille Day, you know, and it's
Oh
that
yeah.
same kind of beginning and the feel of Bastille Day. And they knew it too. They were
I
like,
never even thought
Alex is
about
like,
that.
Alex is like, it sounds an awful lot like an album song we did way back before.
Yeah,
But that was intentional. But I'm like, it was nice.
that's a great. I never even thought about it. Now, when I re-listen to that again, I'm going to have to. I'll get
No,
Steel
no,
Dan.
no, 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 no,
Right.
no, no, no. You know, it's like, oh, it's fucking Bastille Day. Nice,
Yeah.
nice.
Cool. Kind of
And
giving,
then,
throwing respect to their past, you know?
yes, yeah, totally. And I think that the song that still can make me weep, The Garden. Just this final track, it is, it again is that this ultimate bittersweet track. There's these, especially when it slows down, when like about the idea of how fragile life is and the things that we tender to it in life and how easy it is, you know, the things that we grow and we tend and how easy it is to you know, the memory of a life. It's just like, my God, it encapsulates everything that Neil kind of has written about in the last, you know,
Yeah,
40 years, 35
I about
years.
tear up every time I hear this song
Yeah. And
myself.
that
It's
solo is
beautiful.
so passionate and so, it's like just achy. You know, it's like, oh, God damn
Get
you.
goosebumps right now thinking about
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. And I hear it. And honestly, Chop, when after Neil Peart died, I couldn't listen to Rush for a year. I mean, it was a solid year, and because I just sob. And I still, this song really still makes me emotional when I hear it. It's
Yeah,
because
me
it's
too.
so beautiful and so there's ache in it. There's longing in it, and that bittersweet quality that we see so often, like Time Stands Still and those kinds of songs.
It's
But
almost like Neil is also, I don't know if he was sick at this time,
no,
at this
no,
time.
no. It happened like shortly after the tour,
Okay.
like the R40
Okay.
tour.
I didn't want to misspeak on
No,
it,
no, no.
but I
He.
thought it's almost like was Yuri, you know, thinking about premonizing maybe about his
No,
own
I think he was
mortality
ready
at
to
this time.
retire.
Okay.
He didn't want to come back for the R40 tour because he was sore and tired. He didn't get
Sure.
sick until like just a few months after the tour was over.
Okay. I knew
But
it was around, you know,
yeah, it was
after
pretty
his.
close. I mean, it wasn't very
Yeah.
long at all. But it is a fitting kind of, it is fitting and bittersweet knowing like it wasn't too
Yes.
long after that he passed.
Sure.
But yeah, Clockwork Angels is such a beautiful album.
God.
It's so rare that a band, you know, when they Rush said we're going to retire, we're going to be done, we're going to finish with their strongest, like one of their strongest albums ever. No, top to bottom, it is a stellar album.
Stellar fucking album.
Yeah. So anyway, there's my five tracks.
I can't blame you. That was a hard decision coming through, like you said it.
Yeah, I can't.
My first one from Clockwork, I'm gonna choose Caravan. Very cool, almost descending kind of intro, but modern sounding Rush. Very cool bass line and guitar. Meaning I got out of this, looking at the bigger picture, Caravan is a metaphor for the world and how the world carries on regardless of what we're doing. World is caravan. So well, I think it's that line, world's a gypsy caravan. So that's what I got out of that. Then The Anarchist, when I agree with you on that as well. Musically classic Rush, but an angry song almost. There's a meaning, maybe you're denied what everyone else has. You don't get it. Maybe you have, it's about regret, resentment. It's just a hard driving song. And I think one of the heaviest Rush songs they've ever done. So, and the last one, The Garden. I'm with you. 2 out of 3, the whole damn thing, folks.
I know,
Yeah, but
man.
man, a beautiful orchestration in that Montague. That about makes me weep alone.
Yeah. The keyboard, the piano, it's that kind of tinkling keys, and again, where
Yeah.
the song compresses and then it just breathes slowly, you know, this kind of like it's ethereal and quiet, and yeah, and it sets you right up for that emotional, gut-wrenching solo. Yeah.
It is I got out of this basically time is the garden to nurture and protect, you know, and of course soon after that with Neil, you know.
Yeah, the measure of a
Yeah.
life.
So, and then sending just that message. It's almost an epitaph before he was, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I said, he was a premonizing, but it's just like, man, the irony of the release of that last single.
Right.
The eventuality of Neil.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Now, the last time I saw Rush was on this tour. 2013, the Clockwork Angels tour album came out, and they came to Cleveland, and I loved that tour.
Not going
to
make that one either.
Yes, I know. They had an orchestra, and the Clockwork Angels orchestra, which is nice. And what I love so much about this this tour, they played a set list right out of the 80s on the first seven songs. You know, they played your favorite song. You know, they opened with, you know, yeah, Subdivisions. And then they played, it was like they're playing Signals. They're playing stuff off of Power Windows. They're, you know, it was just like, oh my God, this is like, and it was like 80s, 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 80s. I'm like, oh, this is so good. Cause about half of those tracks I had never heard live before. I'm like, this is phenomenal, you know. And then they come in after a break, and then they do the, you know, Clockwork Angels, and they have the strings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Again, 2.5 hour set, just brilliant top to bottom, you know. Again, Rush always puts on a great show. Never saw a bad Rush show.
No, nope. I have this live album too. CDs, and yeah. That is and with the orchestra, like you said, when they did Clockwork Angels orchestra, it's wow, it really works well with them. Really nice.
Yeah, totally. And then the last album they put out, I did not see this tour, although I would have loved to. The 40th anniversary. What I love about this so much was the set list and the arrangement of the set list in reverse chronological order. And the kind of brilliant, like when they decided, let's play backwards in time, like god damn yes, because they start off with all the modern songs, they work their way back, and then as the eras of Rush change, Neil Peart's drum kit changed, like from his new single bass to like they brought back the double bass kit, and they bring it back these you know, the backdrops they would put in to where it was like they were playing smaller and smaller venues, like back in the old days, to where if you ever see the video, like when they get to their like the last couple of tracks when they're playing stuff off their first album or two, it's like they're playing at a high school. It's like they got these small little amplifier looking things, or like playing in a gymnasium, you know, kind of thing. It's like they're going from these big, and it's like, oh my god, it's great. So when they play Worker Man, it's like, oh nice, because they're working their way backwards in time. So Neil Peart had two drum kits, because I really missed that double bass kit, you know, that they had. But then to see them do the backdrops, go from like they were playing in like, I forget, because they talk about it on the All the World's a Stage, or that documentary. Or
brilliant.
Yeah, great. I love the scene when they're having dinner, you know, drinking.
All right.
I just want to like laugh my ass off.
Right.
But they talk about like the backdrops are like one of the first tracks they play, like might have been like a church or like a high school gymnasium.
I think it was a church gymnasium or a church basement, I believe.
Or something like that. Yeah, high school gymnasium, something like that. And that's what the last backdrop is when they're like finally like going back to when they first started. I thought, incredible. I don't know how they came up with that idea, but it was just brilliant. They sound wonderful. And like, what a way to cap a career, you know, just like
here's unbelievable career.
40 years of one of the most beloved and amazing bands. You know, my favorite band, and you know, I'd love to talk with Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson, and love to have them on the show, and just that would be awesome. You know, I'd probably cry. Like if Alex Lifeson comes on, I'd probably just cry. You know, I don't know. I have no shame in that. Rush has been a band emotionally for me that has just brought me through a lot, and I just kind of. Like they hear a lot from a lot of fans, the music has helped them with their lives, and Rush has just made such a change in my life. And I love their music so much. It's not just being a fan of their music. It's deep meaning for me, you know. It's so I just really appreciate them. But Rush. Mm. Now, did you have any comments on the R40 or?
I agree wholeheartedly with what you discussed. And one of my favorite live albums is, of course, I just discussed Rush in Rio.
Yes.
It's just that crowd. Sonically, it's gorgeous. when Neil does YYZ and the band does YYZ, and they're chanting like along with the musical beats, and you got 100,000 plus people.
Yeah.
I never heard it. It blew my mind. It blew me out of the water. So, yeah, it's one of my favorite. And they had so many great live recordings, but that's definitely in my top three of all time, Rush Live. So,
yeah. Yeah, this Rush is just something special. I love them. And I'm so grateful for their music. And Geddy Lee, Alex Lifeson, I'd love for you to come on the show. Come on. You're more than welcome. We'd love to talk with you. If I cry, it's okay. Just let me cry. It's all right. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, Neil Peart was on my bucket list. Like, he was my bucket list to meet, but it would have been hard to meet because I know he didn't like Adam.
He didn't like, yeah.
Yeah. And I would have been trying to, like, I always imagine, like, okay, because when he was like traveling around and he would just sit like at a diner on his motorcycle and he would like not being recognized and he would like to talk with people.
Sure. Like,
okay, I can pretend not to recognize him. And then at the end, it was always my idea of just saying, hey, thank you for the music. You know, just something so that I knew. It was like, I'd like to just say hi, just to say thank you, but, and try not to gush. You know, but I learned how to play drums from listening to Rush. I learned how to play drums. And so I feel very, very much like a kinship, and like, not that I was ever, could ever approach Neil Peart in playing quality.
You're grateful and indebted.
Yes, exactly. Right. It. And his lyrics are so thoughtful and meaningful. And as a human being, hearing them talk, and all three of them, they're like the nicest people in the world. Like, you know, there's, and, I guess because they're Canadian, that's probably that's what they even say. Oh, we're Canadian and we're painfully nice. I guess that's the one thing we have wrong with us. We're nice, right. You know? But anyway, yeah, I mean, Rush, you know, and I'm just glad we can kind of finish up the tour of Rush, and I'm just always going to love their music and appreciate them.
Yep.
And, you know, would love to talk with them sometime, you know? So if you want to see me cry, just get a hold of them. If you know them out there, say, hey, make Montag cry, go on the show. So,
man, that would be amazing fanboy moment.
Oh, I know. Yeah. You know, there aren't too many people I think I would meet who I would cry. Like, you know, I was really in awe when I met Stan Lee. Like, okay, was this going to be a crying moment?
Sure.
Because, you know, but it wasn't. It was just like, oh, this is so cool. And just be able to have that 2 minutes to say thank you. And that's all I want, just to say thank you. To Rush, like, your music means a lot to me. I appreciate it. Just thank you so much. And without, like, stalking them or anything crazy. But
Sure.
You know. Yeah, because we like a lot of music, but not a lot of it connects emotionally. You know, there's a difference. And we all have those bands that mean something deeper to us. And Rush is that band for me. It's like it hits me in a place that no other band gets to. And so I just really appreciate them. So
absolutely agree.
Whew, I'm spent. I am spent.
You too, brother.
Like Michael Caine in The Hand. So,
and I'm there we go.
That's right. That's right.
Three pumps, and I'm done.
That's right.
Okay. Hey,
that's right.
Listen to me, yelling, Brody.
Okay. Yeah. You know, we're going to have a lot of fun this year, Chop. I'm really excited to be back. I really do think we need to do a top five worst movies, worst stinkball movies, or something like that.
That's a tough list.
Yeah, I know. I know there's some shit out there. I'm thinking I can. Yeah, maybe we could do 10. I think we could do it. I think we need to. Yeah, we need to bring someone else on board.
We might have to have a discussion one of these days. You know, go back, give me some of your ideas, and like,
yeah,
not that we, you know, just to get the ball rolling, kind of thinking.
Right, right. I can think of a handful.
So many, so many. We've seen over
Yeah, so many shitty movies. Yeah, The Swarm is right up there. God Monster of Indian Flats. I think. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's some real doozies out there. Well, are you ready to get out for today?
Sure, buddy.
Okay, man, let's do it. Hey, right. You can find Heavy Metal Horror on unsaneradio.com. Listen to full episodes or download to your device. You can find us on Facebook, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. On Instagram, look for Montag Lewis, one word. Our YouTube page, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. If you're watching, that's where you're at. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button. And if you know someone who would like us, tell them about us. This has been Montag, Master of Illusion.
This has been Chop Top.
And you've been watching and listening to Heavy Metal Horror.
This is Doug Helvering, and you have been listening to Heavy Metal Horror, the best podcast that you've never heard before.